Would you be seated and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Today is the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is 50 days after Easter, and it's 10 days before or 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. Today would be the day that we celebrate what happened in Acts chapter 2, the fulfilling of prophetic words where the Holy Spirit came into the church. Could we turn the house lights on a little bit, guys? So they can read their Bibles and take notes, because I'm going to make them take notes. Oh, there you are. Okay. You guys are so pretty, beautiful, handsome. You're all of it. Great to see. And you smile. I get to see their smiles. And then I can see if they fall asleep too. But what I want you to realize is we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm in a series called The Gifts of Tongues and Prophecy. This is part two. Part one was a few weeks ago. You can hear it online. I'm going to cover a couple things that were similar, but not all the same. And we're going deeper and further into First Corinthians chapter 14. And just to have you guys know, I just want you to realize something, that I'm going to be saying some things that other famous preachers may not agree with, but the Bible does. And that what we want to do is live our lives by the Word of God, by the Bible. What we want to do as believers is look to God's holy Word and let it control our life, not us tell the Bible what it should say. We should submit ourselves to the Word of God. So with that, I'm going to just go through scripture. I ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But if you go into chapter 13 at the end there, chapter 13, verse 13, it says this: "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Do you know how people read this? People will read this verse, and I've actually heard preachers preach this: faith and hope aren't that important, it's love. And then when they talk about love, a lot of people, when they read this and they look at love, they think about loving other people. And that's part of it, but that's not the beginning of it. The word abide means this is where it is. This is where we're at. This is something that is taking place. This is where we exist. This is where we're living. Now abide faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. These three things, faith, hope, and love, is what you live by. But the word for love here, in reference to help you understand everything that's going on, this word for love is, first of all, directed to, do you believe that God loves you? Because if you don't believe that God loves you personally, then this isn't doing you much good. Because we're supposed to accept that God loves me, God likes me, God loves me, and then I'm supposed to love God back. The more I know that God loves me, the easier it is to love him back. Is that right? Have you ever found, have you ever fallen in love? I did, still am, and it's worse now than ever. ask her, it's worse. Got to quit chasing around the house and everything. Anyway, now abide faith, hope, love. First thing that you have to do is realize, when you know you're loved, it's easier to love back. And when you realize how much God loves you, you're going to love him back, and then you're going to love other people. We're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. So in that little first and second commandment from Jesus is the love that God has for us being recognized, the love we have for him, and then the love that we have received for ourselves from him, that we get to love our neighbor. So the greatest of these, and here's another way that some people read it is, they look at this, say, now abide faith, hope, love. Greatest of these is love. So let's just go after the greatest, as I've already said that love is. But you need all three of these things. You need to have faith in God. You need to have hope in your future. You need to have love resonated in your soul. And that is going to be because you believe God loves you. Going on to the verse 1 of chapter 14, it says this: pursue love. Pursue love. Pursue it. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The word love here, and I shared this with you last time, is to have love for someone or something based on sincere appreciation and high regard. Step number one in our life is that we should have a high regard for God. We should have a high regard for Him. We should love God. We should be in love with Him. And it says to pursue it. The word for pursue means to do something with intense effort and with a definite purpose or goal. Then you want to make sure that you go after God and His love. With that in mind, if I'm pursuing love, then I should be desiring spiritual gifts. I should be desiring spiritual gifts. The word desire means to be deeply committed to something. I should go after the love of God, which is going to be love God, love people. Love God, love people. I should pursue it. I should go after it with intense focus. I should be really anxious to do these things. And then desire means to be deeply committed to something. And a desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Which you may know that the New Testament is written in Greek, and the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And for us to understand a lot of things in our English, we have to go back to the original language and find out how it was used in the day of the writing, or how it was used when Paul was talking. Now, what's interesting is it was written in Koine Greek. Koine Greek would be considered the street language of people. The common Greek, not the scholarly Greek, is just the common Greek. The founder of Koine Greek is Alexander the Great. And when he was conquering different countries and conquering different properties in different lands, he realized, and then he would take the men and put them in his army, that they couldn't talk to each other, so he created one language. And that was based off of the Greek, but he did it for the common everyday merchant and people, just how they're talking. And that is when Koine Greek rose up and the world's talking in one language, thanks to Alexander the Great, who God used to prepare the gospel to go everywhere. Jesus is born during a time when everyone understands the same language and can clearly communicate the gospel to everybody in every language. They still have their other dialects, their tongues, their different accents, but everyone did speak Koine Greek and something else. Jesus spoke three languages: Koine Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And I speak English roughly and tongues pretty good. That's about it. And so what I want you to realize is that God is telling us, Paul is communicating to the church of Corinth, that you need to pursue love and desire, not one of the other, but do both of them. But then it says this, but especially that you may prophesy. And this word for especially simply means you should put extra effort in this particular gift, prophecy. I'm going to share with you why Paul thinks prophecy is the greatest gift, or the best gift, or the most important gift. He thinks prophecy is pretty important and says so. He says in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. I shared with you a couple weeks ago about mysteries, the content of that which has been, that has not been known before, but which has been revealed in a particular group. This Greek word for mysteries, we get our word fraternity. And a fraternity, whether you go to a college fraternity or you go to any kind of social fraternity or you go to a club-like thing, that there are different levels of information, and the entry-level person in the fraternity knows a certain amount of stuff. And then the next level knows more things about the inner workings of that fraternity than the lower levels. And what it's saying is that you are speaking mysteries in the spirit. Now, get this. Just bear me out on this. God says here that when you speak in tongues through our author Paul, that you are speaking in the spirit mysteries. You have an opportunity to do something miraculous, and that is when you speak in tongues, pray in tongues, that you're actually speaking a spiritual language in the spiritual atmosphere for spiritual results. That's amazing. Think about this, the wisdom of God to bring in the gift of tongues, to bring it to the body of Christ, to the church. where everyone over the entire world, doesn't matter the color of your skin, doesn't matter your nationality, doesn't matter what language you speak, but you could speak in the Spirit spiritual mysteries. You can advance the kingdom of God through your prayer language that he drops into people's lives by doing what he says to do. For he says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. You're speaking directly to God the Father. You're not speaking to Mary or a saint or a past person that lived. You're speaking to God. According to Paul, you're speaking to God. And he says, and no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he does speak mysteries. There are two types of speaking in tongues. Type number one is private for prayer life. This is the language that is given to a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, and they have now spoken in tongues, and that what happens with them, what takes place now, is they are speaking or praying privately with God in the Spirit. Things are happening in your life. The second type is public, and it's only for the purpose of interpretation. The public one would be in a setting of a Bible study or a church service, something like this, where you have believers that are together, Holy Spirit moves on somebody, and they speak out loud in tongues, and someone else gives the interpretation, or that same person gives the interpretation. Those are the two types of tongues. But let me back up to this for a minute. It says that he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, which means he's speaking in the Spirit. Now, if you have never, ever spoken the Spirit before, how would you know what it feels like or sounds like or experience it? Let me give you a little background on it. A few weeks ago, we prayed for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We had, I think, 20-some people come up to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then to move from that point, the prayer language for their private life and to have that for speaking in tongues in their life. What happens is some people walk away and say this, well, I didn't feel anything. Well, how would you know? You've never done it before. How do you know what it's supposed to feel like? It's whenever we tell God, you must do it this way, in this kind of fashion, and I must feel this, is God usually does all the opposite. He goes, no, I'm not. That's not how it's happening with you. And what I'm simply sharing with you is, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak spiritual words in a spiritual environment, in a spiritual world, and you've never, ever been there before, who are you to say, no, this is not that God? Who are you to tell God that he made a mistake? When Jesus said, if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he won't give you a demonic spirit. If you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. Just some thoughts. Again, the two types. One is private for prayer, and that can be groups of people praying in the Spirit. Could be you individually praying in the Spirit. As I shared with you, I pray privately in the Spirit every single day. And public for interpretations. But now let's go over to prophecy. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I want you to see these words, edification, edifies, and edifies. Same Greek word, and it means to be built up. It means to make you stronger. It means for you to be strong and full. It says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So Paul talks about the purpose of, he shares that the prophecy is greater because it blesses more people. Reasons you should pray in tongue regularly, that you speak to God, you are speaking mysteries, you are being refreshed and entering into the rest of God, it edifies you, and you are making your faith stronger. I shared these a few weeks ago in detail. You can listen to that online on our phone app. Put headphones on, get the phone app, get in while you're working, whatever you may be doing. Go back to verse 3. Let's talk about these three words. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. The word edification means to build a house. But he who prophesies builds the house of God. Prophecy builds a house. exhortation. It's a calling to one side, an exhortation or support or comfort. He who prophesies speaks house building words, comforting and supporting words, and then comfort means words of encouragement. A public prophecy or a private prophecy should be doing these things. It should be building the person up or the group up. It should be exhorting them. It should be calling them to gather together for a purpose. It should be motivating them to do something, and it should be words of encouragement, we can get it done. There are two types of prophecy, just like there are two types of tongues. The first one is private prophecy for a person. This is where an individual give an individual a prophetic word, where I could come to you and say, God has shown this to me about your life, and or God is saying this for you. That's a personal prophecy. And we've seen this quite a bit in our church, where people have a personal prophecy. Someone else says, gosh, I wish that was me. And then somebody else will say, well, just take it. I don't know. I understand what you're saying. But if I walked up to Pastor Randy and I gave him a prophetic word that deals with his life, that's his. And he has to take it by faith. But now, to say that I'm taking that word for me and applying it to my life is a little different than just saying, you prophesied over me. What you are saying, though, and what God is declaring is this: if I'll do it for Pastor Randy, I'll do it for anyone who has faith. And that's okay. By faith, if God is going to change Pastor Randy's life, if God is going to do something big in Pastor Randy's life, if God is going to work in that in his life, amen, and God will do the same work in my life. And there you could take the promises of God, and that you could take the blessings of God. Okay. Wow, that was really weird. Microphone and stuff. Hi. I got a word from the Lord for you. Is it okay?
Yeah.
This is what I believe God is saying. This would be a personal prophecy. Okay? This would be a prophetic word for her, and then it would be, what's your first name? Wow.
Michelle.
So we're going to give Michelle a prophetic word, and you say, well, that really deals with my life as well. You should know that if God is willing to touch Michelle, he's willing to touch you. And he can do it in the same way, the same fashion. But Michelle, I felt like what the Lord is telling me about your life is that there's been a struggle going on recently, and that you think you're not coming out on top. But God says you are. He said that all the dust will settle and all of the confusion will be cleared up. And you will be shown the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. I also saw that the Lord is touching your body. I saw what happened is, first of all, in the top area of your shoulder, God is touching it and releasing healing in your shoulder and now causing it to go down your back. Have you had some back problems recently?
No, not back problems.
In the shoulder area? Stress kind of stuff? Of the upper body tightness and stuff.
Yeah, like tension.
Yeah. God is just saying that he's touching you and in bringing his strength to your body as well. Okay. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Can we say amen for Michelle?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, now someone else said, hey, you know what? That really was me. It's not Michelle. No, it really was Michelle. But you could also say, thank God, if you're going to touch her, you can touch me. Okay, let me give you an example. This came to me out of the blue. This happened 35 years ago. And it just popped during worship. And I thought, am I supposed to share that? And then Michelle kind of confirmed that I was. And it was this. I had extreme, out of this world pain in my shoulders that I couldn't sleep. Could not. And so you got that picture. I'm in bed begging, I'm in so much pain, begging God, please take it away kind of thing. And I'm in the name of Jesus, I'm doing the name of Jesus, I'm speaking scripture over it, and pain leave in the name of Jesus, and now I'm praying in the Spirit. So I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm thinking 35 years ago, before a lot of you were even born. And I'm praying in the Spirit, and then I heard this. I'm not kidding. I heard this very loud. Take some Tylenol. That shocked all my faith teaching. And I knew it was the Lord. It was so authoritative. It was so strong. Take some Tylenol. And I did. 20 minutes later, pain was gone. So I'm seeking the Lord. Okay, why? He said, first of all, there was nothing physically wrong with you. You were having anxiety and fear, and it was being released in your body, and therefore there was nothing physically to fix. He said, you have to trust and cast your care onto me. So in the meantime, Tylenol and Bible verses. Okay? Okay, two types of prophecy, private for a person, public for the church or a group of people, where somebody is prophesying over a church. And again, those three things, edification, exhortation, and comfort, should be fitting into that category. It should be building the house. It should be encouraging the people. It should be giving you words that rally you together and move forward. There's a lot of prophets right now on YouTube. There are people who, their profession is having a prophetic word practically daily. And I have listened to many of them. And when they're done, I said, okay, so what? What do I do with that? Are you just showing me that you can predict the future? Because they'll say something about the future, and then later something similar will happen, and then they'll do a follow-up video and say, see, I was right. But there was no instruction, there was no comfort, there was no edifying, there was no building the house, there was just a prediction. I said, okay, what do I do? I think we need to go back to the Word of God, to the Bible, and not use our giftings for merchandising. And we should use our giftings for building the house. Okay, in verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Did I move this a couple? Yeah. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Okay, here's where I believe is strong evidence that Paul, when he writes a letter, he sends it to the leadership of the church, and the leadership is supposed to read it, conform to it, and then teach the congregation. And Paul is saying this, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. And here's the whole thing. Paul wants everybody to be edified, and he wants the house to be built. This is why prophecy is an important thing. So the question is, Paul telling us this, I wish you spoke with tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. So Paul is saying that prophecy is a very important gift for the church because it will build the house. It will cause the church to come together. It will give the church instructions. But he also says, so will tongues and interpretation. He finishes this chapter, forbid not speaking in tongues. So he ends the chapter. We'll be there in a few weeks. Not that fast, slow down. But here he's trying to say that. Now look at the next verse, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? So Paul says, if I come to you, and this phrase means I'm coming, arriving, traveling. I'm coming from one place to another place, and you're at the other place. So I'm coming to you. He goes, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? I love this word, if. The Greek word for if has four conditional clauses. The sentencing or the statement that it's written in will tell you which one it is. Here are the four conditional clauses for the word if. If, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. If, I wish it were true, but it's not. If, and it's not true. And the fourth one, if, and it is true. This one right here, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues is the fourth conditional clause. If, and it's true, I'm doing it. So Paul is declaring here, I'm traveling from one point to your city, and while I'm doing it, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. But then he says this, what shall I profit you unless I speak? Now, this is a hidden gem. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, teaching? Paul is saying, while I'm on my way to you, speaking in tongues for you, God is building me up in these four areas. I'm getting revelation for you. I'm getting knowledge for you. I've got prophetic words stirring up on the inside for you, and I'm going to be teaching you spiritual truths. And it won't do any good if I come to your church and stand in the pulpit and speak in tongues. Why don't I do these four things? And that's what he's saying. Here's what Paul, here's the gem that's hidden in this verse. Speaking in tongues will always edify or build up your God-given gifts. If you have a gift in hospitality, by you having regular times of praying in the Spirit throughout your life, your gift of hospitality will be honed. It will be tuned. It will be magnified. If you have the gift of administration, if you have the gift of organizing, if you have the gift of prophecy, if you have the gift of giving, you say that God has given you the gift of giving, and your gift of giving will be magnified through a life of prayer in the Spirit. But Paul says, it's not going to do any good if I come to you speaking in tongues. What good would that be? Because you won't understand anything. Verse 7, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So if you were just to take a trumpet and you're supposed to have a particular tune, particular set or number of measures that produce the sound of a song or a... and that command meant charge. But if the trumpeter, the bugle person, just went... and held one note for a really long time, everybody's going to look at it, what? And Paul's using that as an example. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. This is a verse that is for everyone who's going to preach a Bible study, teach a Bible study, preach in a church, you're going to communicate the gospel. Paul says, make it easy to understand. Why? Why are you making it hard? Gospel's easy. It was written in Koine Greek for the street person. Shouldn't be something that someone else doesn't understand. It's supposed to be normal, everyday communication, sharing your testimony. So likewise, you, when you utter the tongues, words that are easy to understand, how will it be known what's spoken if they're not easy to understand? Verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Okay, we got a statement. Now Paul continues with that statement. Therefore, the word therefore is in reference to what he had just communicated. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. If two people get together and they start talking in two different languages, like it's very common, you know, in Orange County. We have all kinds of languages everywhere. You can go to a mall in Orange County and hear five different languages. Very common, very easy. And I don't know. I mean, I have people say stuff to me in Spanish. I have no clue. I don't know. Josh at least knows some. I know nothing. I found out the words I did know aren't Spanish, like taco, burrito, you know. Yeah, those are the important ones, you know, as long as I can eat kind of thing. Because, but here's the whole thing is, if you don't understand what the person's saying, you're a foreigner. If someone gets up to preach the gospel and they make it so difficult to understand what's being said, people are like, huh? You're speaking a foreign language. But then it continues in this chapter. We're going to get into some really fun stuff here. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, because we are as a group, we're zealous for spiritual gifts. Why? Because God plant his church in the earth, and it's supposed to grow, and part of the growth is spiritual gifts. People say, well, I don't want to go to a church that has spiritual gifts. Heaven's full of them. Do you not want to go to heaven? Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. The motivation behind spiritual gifts should be it makes our church stronger. It builds the house. Why would I want to speak in tongues publicly? Because it would build the house. Why would I want to prophesy publicly? Because it would build the house. Why would I want to pray for somebody to see them have a miracle and be healed? Because it would build the house. Verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. And here's what Paul's indicating to all of us, and this is pretty strong. Because if you have the ability to pray in tongues, then also seek God, what am I praying about? And see, God will give you an interpretation of what you are praying about. And if you have the ability to speak in tongues, if you have that gift, not everybody does. Not everybody has the gift of public speaking in tongues. But everyone can receive the gift of private speaking in tongues. Not everybody has the gift of public. If you have the gift of public speaking in tongues, you should also be seeking God. Can you also operate in the gift of interpretation? Verse 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I'm so glad Paul put this verse in the Bible. It makes so much sense. He says this, when you are praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues, your spirit is communicating and your understanding is like, hey, what's going on down there? What am I saying? Is it any good? And here's where we have faith in God. He said it's good. Therefore, I will do what is good. He said that it will help. Therefore, I will be an instrument of help. He goes, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Wow. Paul says this. I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. And then he adds this one, and he throws this in just to get us all upset. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Paul communicates to the church at Corinth that it's perfectly fine to be actually singing in the spirit, where the words get caught up inside you and your spirit and your mind connect together. You even know the melody. You even know the words in your understanding, but yet you move or move by God from inside and you lift up your hands and you sing the same song in the spirit or a new song in the spirit or a prophetic song in the spirit and then also in the understanding. And Paul says this, I will do both. I will do both. That's pretty awesome. He'll do both. I would love, pretty excited, I would love to hear more singing in the spirit in this church. What would happen? Here's my very, very first experience of ever hearing people sing in the spirit. I was 21 years old visiting Melody Land, which was a church in the round across the street from Disneyland. Some of you have never seen it because you're not old enough. Others have had that event. I was at a Thursday morning Bible study. And Pastor Wilkerson was speaking. He was done giving his message, and he asked people to stand and raise their hand and just start to worship God. Just start to worship God. I closed my eyes, and I heard this sound throughout the whole building. It sounded like music. I didn't know what was going on. I've never experienced this before. I'd never seen it before. I didn't even speak in tongues at the time. And I'm in this room, and I could hear the keyboards of the piano being touched and played and sound, and it was music. And then when I opened my eyes, no one was at the keyboard. No one was at the piano. Rich Cook was sitting in the front row, and no instruments were being played at all, but it just filled my head with this beautiful sound of music, and it was people all around in that round auditorium singing in the Spirit. It moved me. It moved me greatly. And I had never experienced that before. I'd never seen it before. I just thought, wow, that's so amazing. That's wild. From singing in the Spirit. Verse 16, wrapping it up because of time. So next time I'll pick it up right where we leave off today. Otherwise, listen to this. Otherwise, if you bless, this is one that people read real fast and don't get. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? This is saying a couple things. I love this phrase. If you bless with the Spirit, this would be praying over a person in the Spirit, a blessing on them. It would be at a meal time where you are going to give thanks for the meal, and you do it in the Spirit. And Paul is saying, if you have people with you that don't know what you're saying, why are you saying it? Good advice. So when you're at your favorite restaurant, whether that's BJ's or Blue Agave or something else, and you are praying over, you're giving thanks for your meal. You're saying, thank you for providing this. Paul is saying, don't do it in the Spirit. If you have people that don't understand, or you're not going to interpret what you're saying, because they can't say amen at it, but look what he says this in verse 17. For you indeed give thanks well. But the other's not edified. So Paul said, I could give thanks for my meal personally in the Spirit, and he says I do it well. But if there's anyone else with me, I should do it in the understanding, because they don't know what I'm saying. Or if I have believers with me that know what's happening, to do both in the Spirit and in the understanding. So we end with this verse today. I thank my God, this is Paul, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Here's the funny part. This phrase, more than you all, is written in the second person plural. It's also written in the place that being in the plural, Paul says, you collectively. Paul is telling the leadership at Corinth that he speaks in tongues more often than the leadership at Corinth collectively. Paul the Apostle, the greatest man next to Jesus that walked on planet Earth, in for us New Testament believers, I mean, he's right up there with Moses, Abraham, David, King David. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God took him into heaven and he showed him things. In fact, he saw things and heard things he could not repeat on planet Earth. This man, who is godly, fearful of the Lord, strong in faith, said, I speak in tongues more than you all. That is a challenge. It's a challenge where he's saying, are you going to speak in tongues like Paul did? You know, the other very famous person who spoke in tongues, it's written in the Bible, you'll find it in Acts chapter 2, is Mary. So all Catholics should speak in tongues. Because Mary did, Paul did, Peter did, every disciple spoke in tongues, every apostle spoke in tongues, everywhere they went and preached the gospel, they preached also the move of the Holy Spirit, and that you should be filled with the Spirit, and you should have a prayer language. Everywhere they went, there were people prophesying. Later in this chapter, I'm going to get into can women prophesy? I can't wait to do that. Because according to the book of Acts, there was a man who had 7 daughters and all of them prophesied. And they prophesied over Paul. And he listened to what they had to say. That's a little sneak preview in the weeks to come. But I want to challenge you. On this day of Pentecost, would you make a fresh commitment to your prayer language? If you are a person who has the prayer language and that you have that private gift of speaking in tongues privately, would you use it more often in your private prayer time? Would you listen to last message, part one and part two of this series, so that it will edify you and build you up so that you know how important it is? And would you also start praying for our church to move in prophecy, that we start to prophesy, that God starts moving in this heavenly way, in God's specific way, because God wants to use prophecy to encourage, to edify, to build up, to strengthen. You knew I was going to come over here, didn't you? Yes. The Lord says you're not alone. You are among thousands who are speaking and praying in the Spirit for complete and absolute victory. Victory in more than one front. You are one mind focus right now, but God said he is multi-focus. He is not just working in your daughter's life, but he's working in your life. He's working in every family member's life. And that he says that watch the goodness of the Lord and the strength of the Lord come and shine. You may be focused on one, but he said, keep your eye on him, and he is strong to bring you all the way through. Amen. 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 Can we give the Lord a hand? Now, I shared with a couple people a personal prophetic word, a word that would be an example for the church. And I have that stirring up on the inside where it would be a prophetic word for us as a group, us as a church, with Pastor Josh as the lead, taking us into that next place that God has. And the Lord says this: don't be afraid of change, and don't be afraid of people being moved from one place to another. Don't be afraid of God causing new to rise up, and don't be afraid of a new fresh move, a breath of fresh air coming upon you that will strengthen you, build you, guide you, and direct you. In fact, the Lord says, be willing to jump in and be involved, because I know who is working and who is sitting. And it is time for you to realize those that have sat for a long time to rise up and speak their voice and change the community for the goodness of Jesus Christ. The Lord says to us, be not afraid of things you don't completely understand. You will be led by the Spirit into that knowledge, that refreshing, that move, that guidance. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. 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 Okay, so what do you do with a prophetic word that hits the church? Do you just sit back and say, it's just going to happen? No. You take the word and you pray over it. And you said, God, you said this, and I believe it. I believe it. I believe this will happen. I believe this will take place. You will make it happen. What can I do to be involved? What can I do to see your kingdom grow? What can I do to have the freshness of your Spirit in my own personal life, in the life of our church? Amen. You know what you can do? First thing you can do? If you are an individual that has not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit and that gift of private praying in the Spirit, any Sunday, you can come up here at the foot of the cross. We have our people to pray for you, and they can pray over you. They can pray for you, and they can see God do that in your life. These are people that I would let pray over me for anything because I trust them. They're full of faith. They're full of the Spirit. They're full of God. And they want to see things happen in your life. God wants to move fresh. Did you know that God is not worried at all? Not about politics, not about the election, not about the economy, not about the, I was going to say the crazy government of California, but I didn't want to say that, so I won't say it. Not, God is not worried about climate change. God is not worried about anything. God is the answer for everything. His word, His Son, His blood, His name, His grace, His conferences, His confidence in us, and His promises. His promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. God wants to do great things inside your life. Wants to do wonderful things. Is there someone here that you've been suffering lately with your ears plugging up? Particularly your left ear. But could be both ears, where your ears just regularly get plugged up. Is that somebody here? There's a hand pointing. Oh, is it a child? Okay, leave your hands up, okay? Because we pray, because the Holy Spirit's moving right now in that, and I just could sense that people are suffering from plugged ears. And whatever that means to you is between you and the Lord, but I just want to pray for you to be free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for ears. Come against ear infections in the name of Jesus and that they stop. And whatever it is that's causing them, Father, you reveal that and that the change takes place. Heal people's ears in the name of Jesus. Touch them right now. Bring healing to their ears, to their sinuses, to their sinus cavities. And we speak the name of Jesus over them right now to be well. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give Him a hand and thank you for it? Let me tell you something too. When there's a prophetic word or there's a word of healing or someone says what I just did, like in the ears, it could be any part of the body. Be open to whatever the Holy Spirit says to you. What does God say? For an example, I gave you my example where I had extreme pain in my shoulders and God said, take Tylenol because I needed immediate relief. And then I found out I was causing the pain through stress, anxiety, and fear. And your situation, no matter what it is, whenever you get prayed for anything, don't walk away and said nothing changed, therefore nothing happened, because that's a lie from the devil. Something changed. You said, God, I'm looking to you. Guide me. Direct me. And God may direct you to a remedy. God may instantly heal you. God may do something else. He may tell you. For an example, I was praying for someone who had extreme pain in their back. And what came to me while I was praying for them, you could call it a word of knowledge, was this question. How old is your mattress? It was like 15 years old. I said, you know, life of mattress is 7 to 8 years. And they got a new mattress, and guess what? Where all their back pain went? Gone with the old mattress. Be open to the Lord. For an example, if you wear shoes that are a size and a half too small and your feet hurt a lot and you're getting prayer for your feet, maybe you don't need prayer for your feet. You need a word from the Lord. Stop wearing those shoes. I'm just giving you different thoughts, and other times God just heals. I told you my example where the doctor found a cyst on my vocal cords and he told me, you can't talk. You have to talk. You can't talk for like 3 months. I said, that's impossible. And I went to our prayer team. I asked our prayer team to pray for me. They prayed for me. Went back to the doctor 2 weeks later. It was gone. Gone. And God can heal you instantly. He could lead you in a way that brings health. You follow Him. Let's live by the Spirit. Amen. Could we give the Lord a thank you for today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.